this is not made.
There was a very interesting article that I read, and I felt it was something that resonated with me personally, because I've talked about this, is quarterback Josh Rosen from UCLA talked about how college players, and football in particular, and school don't go together. And he's an economics major, quarterback for, again, UCLA, and he just mentioned about, generally speaking, about the demands that student-athletes, quote-unquote student-athletes, have in college, and how the work they put in with the sport does not equate to the education, the bartering that happens, because that's the trade-off, isn't it? That's what the pundits and people that support amateur athletics say, have always stated that, hey, we're giving you a free education, free ride, man. Can't be complaining about it. And I think that in this day and age, with the amount of money that's being pumped out of these schools and out of these sports, in particular basketball and football, I think that the other ones we can fairly assess and say that it's probably not a profitable venture, meaning volleyball or softball. If I look at golf, you know, these are amateur sports that, in general, the fan base in sports does not follow or care to invest their time in. So let's look at it from that perspective as far as amateur athletes in football and basketball. And I know from my personal experience, I've only played Division II college, and I would say that my schedule was pretty rigid and pretty much had classes. Your classes were scheduled in the morning from, 8 to 2. And then from there, you had to go to practice from 3 to 6 and 6:30. And then you had to go run to the cafeteria, eat before they closed at 7 if you wanted to get a free meal. After that, you were SOL. And that's what you dealt with. You were given room and board, but obviously, in those times, you were just given windows of eating, and then you were stuck out of luck. You had to figure it out. You were not given any stipends or anything like that to survive. And let's say if you got hungry at 10 o'clock at night, well, you were stuck out of luck because you didn't get paid for that. And obviously, you couldn't go work. I used to work in high school, so that's how I was able to provide for myself and buy my clothes, even through basketball, because basketball is only a couple hours. And then after the season was over, I was able to work. And even when I did have basketball season, I did have a few days off where I was able to go in and work in the cafeteria over at the college. And that money was the one that I used to survive with. I was able to buy clothes and eat, not bother my mother. And that was something that in college I didn't have a privilege to do at all. The only time I had to work was during the summer if I wanted to do it, and which I did. So I couldn't imagine going to, a top Division II program, which were, top 10 in the country, and now thinking of an Alabama, thinking of a Florida, thinking of these prime schools that have these businesses booming year in and year out. They have an allegiance bigger than NFL, because let's face it, they fill up 100,000 stadiums, meaning the attendance. You get the big shoe, you get Alabama. These stadiums are huge, man. They are way bigger than NFL's, and they pack them every Saturday. The allegiance and the fandom of college football is strong. The product is not better than the NFL, but it is very good. It's still football at the end of the day. It's still basketball at a high level. And I think it's something that, makes a lot of money. And with the lucrative deals that the NCAA has made, and individually these schools make, as in particular the conferences, when they branch off and they create their own networks, there's money to be made. So obviously we all know that education and the cost of it has skyrocketed exponentially. So I guess for me, the thought is, how do we quantify the value of a student athlete? Because I do feel that they don't get the time to go do their own thing. And they can't be like amateur, like Olympians. Olympians can go out and get their own advertising. They can go and be able to be sponsored and be able to, you know, make money in different ways. But they don't have that option. In college, that's it. You got your football all day, every day, which is all year long. And you have maybe a month off or two. And that's it, man. You're back to work. You're back to the grind, training, lifting, running, playing, all of that. And that's where I sit back as a former athlete on a lower tier level and say, I think that it's on a case-by-case scenario that we need to look at the programs and say, well, in Alabama, obviously these kids bring a lot of money into the program. And these kids come from unfortunate backgrounds. For a lot of these kids, mom and dad can't give them money. Right? I mean, let's face it. I mean, these kids just come from impoverished backgrounds. A lot of them do. The star athletes do. And they can't rely on mom and dad to come back and help them, you know, send them money and help them with those little, go out to the movie. That's why a lot of these coaches that I frowned upon, like Bruce Pearl, I mean, he got in trouble, college basketball coach, because he's hosting barbecues at his house. And the NCAA frowns upon that because he's doing things extra to help kids. And it's unbelievable that the NCAA just crashes up on it. And I know, the supporters say, you know, you kind of got to put a kibosh on it because people can skirt around it. People already do. And guess what? You know, a guy like Chris Webber was getting hundreds of thousands of dollars before he even entered the NBA. Could you imagine what he was making at university? Could you imagine what the Fab Five and all these programs make for the school? Just that one program in itself, that one sport. And for these kids not to be able to benefit from it. And I don't think they should be making massive salary. I think it should be something that is relative to their department. So, for example, so if Alabama football, you know, if they're bringing in, you know, $20 million, I mean, obviously the coach is getting paid that much. Why can't we just allow these kids to be stipend in some way, shape, or form, to be given some money, just some benefits, extra benefits, things like that, because the value of the education does not equal the business that the schools are making and the time that they're putting in. And you're trying to say, well, anybody that hasn't played would say, well, you know, they have free education and they don't have to work or anything like that. You're right. I mean, they technically don't have to work, but I'm telling you, it's easier to have a job than it is to do the education, the athletic aspect of it, because you invest a lot of time. And not only that, but then let's say, like, if you're a third stringer, like if you're a backup, then you have to work your ass even more to move up that ladder, because guess what? People are being recruited every year. You know, you're not guaranteed the following year, so you have to just make sure that you're doing whatever it takes to get to that level. So that, imagine the work they already have to put in as an athlete, and then add on for the guys that are behind that are not the starters, they have to put in even extra work to get ahead of it. And it's an obsession. It has to be something that you spent a lot of time on, and you're not going to be able to generate any money. And remember, all of us in that, we only have a certain window to play sports. We can't go back at 35 and say, well, you know, I want to go back and play. I mean, those days are over. So, and that's another reason why I'm big on pursuing your dreams and your passion, especially when you're young, because education, that's always going to be there. Academia is always going to be there. Never. But if you're doing something you love to do, whether it's dancing, you know, you have a certain window. There's certain skill sets, certain things that you can only do at a certain window in your life, and you have to pursue it and try all venues. So I think college sports and academia should be separate? No, it shouldn't be, but it should be compensated. I think that's one of the challenges, to be able to say, there's a difference between saying you were a college football player at UCLA versus, you know, and having an education from there. You know, saying, you know, I graduated from UCLA, I have a business degree there, and I also play college football. I mean, that's a pretty cool thing to have, to be able to do both. I think it prepares you for life, being able to juggle all these different things. I value that tremendously, and I think not everyone's made out for school at the same time. So a lot of those guys that go, guess what? They're not there to get a degree. They don't care for that. They just want to try NFL. They want to try the pro game, get paid. Like I mentioned before, man, these people are coming from dire backgrounds on the average. You know, they come from backgrounds where mom needs help, man. They all need help, man. So they're trying to make money and going the educational route and getting a sales job after college from Enterprise. No offense, but that's, you know, I'm just giving an example. It's making 35K is not going to help home. It's not going to, you know, and I'm not saying that they were going to make more, but they're swinging for the fences, like, as I like to say. So I think we have to keep that in mind, that when it comes to amateur athletics, there's nothing amateur about it. That's for sure. It's something that, you know, these institutions make a lot of money, and they kind of masquerade around the saying that they're a nonprofit. And of course, you know, they go ahead and pay off the admin, and they go pay off all the sports. And I'm not saying that it's not used in other good forms, but at the end, when they're making a profit, and if these deals wouldn't be as lucrative, I mean, look at the NBA. What do you think they have a crazy NBA TV contract for? It's not because they're not bringing in the revenue or don't have the potential to. So when we see these numbers, we just can't dismiss it and say that, okay, you know, a player, you know, a program. And think about it. Again, these coaches are getting paid massive amount of money. It's not as if Nick Saban is getting paid $1 million. I mean, he's getting paid big time. Coach Harbaugh is getting paid big time. And these coaches get paid a lot of money. Not only them, but their assistants. So, you know, you got to understand they generate business. And at the end, you want to masquerade it as nonprofit, like all the money's going nowhere. But if they're paying the coaches that much, just imagine what they could pay the players and still be on top. So I think for anybody that wants to say that it's amateur, that you take the spirit out of the game, I think the kids are still going to play. They're going to play their ass off. You're still going to have a diva here and there, of course. But I think generally speaking, those guys are going to bust their butt because that's what the coaches demand. That's one thing about college, is that it's the power is in the coaches. It's not the players. I think that's one thing that why I can't watch college sports as much, because you just see the control, too many timeouts. There doesn't seem to be as much freedom to let the players be. And in the pro game, you see much more of the talent come out and letting it flourish. I mean, you see all these guys that always come from the NBA, like Kawhi Leonard, even Steph Curry. Yeah, he's a good shooter, but, you know, you didn't know he could have been this good. He wasn't that entertaining in college. You know, so many guys. Russell Westbrook wasn't entertaining in college. James Harden wasn't entertaining in college. But these guys, you know, then they're allowed in the NBA to play the one-on-one game and just be more fluid, and voila. You know, they become better. Same thing with the NFL and these players. So I just, like, not a fan. You know, I think the spirit of the amateur game is there. It's always going to be there. But I think we need to be aware that these kids are not getting compensated in comparison to what they bring to the program. The brand recognition, you know, the ability for them, for the institution to make money off the conference, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that if you're looking at it from just the outside looking in, I think these athletes, man, just need to change the model. And what do I think? What do I propose that these athletes should be viewed upon as, you know, given stipends. And if someone that's above and beyond, like a superstar, let's say like a Johnny Manziel, if they get a sponsorship, you know, sure, just like Olympians. Olympians have to get sponsorships. Golf players have to get sponsorships. That's the way I would let them be, you know, based on the player, you know, and you hate to view it that way. But, you know, there's some players that are more talented than others and are special. And if they garner attention and they garner the ability to get more money, go for it. You know, they're in college. You should be able to make it. Like Reggie Bush shouldn't have been penalized. He was a great, outstanding player for USC. And he brought them notoriety. He brought them back. They went to a couple of national championship games and they won one. And, you know, now, you know, got a house. You know, he had a house. Heisman removed because of that stuff. Getting money. And I'm like, you know, dude, guys, Reggie Bush making $220K off you guys in comparison to what? To what the university made. Come on, let's think about that. he probably make the school that in not even a quarter, you know, a quarter of a football game. So I don't know. I think that we are a society that fights back against tradition as far as the status quo. And the people that fight it are the ones that are just in a mindset of the good old days. And I you know, I tell my friends all the time, I'm not that type. I'm not the one that hangs on to the good old days. You have to be objective and step back and look at things and see how things are evolving and embrace them. And I think that amateur sports is at a point where the money they're bringing in is not it's worth more than the trade-off that they're giving, which is the education, and in particular the time that they have to put in. And I think unless you've been an amateur athlete and played in a collegiate level, you probably won't understand that, because it does take a lot of your time and sacrifice. And granted, you get an education, not everyone's going to make it, but they're aspiring to. And that means that they have to put in time, and they're not able to make money while they're doing it. So I think we need to be aware of that. But, yeah, college and sports need to be together. They just need to be paid more.
Well, when you ask, should college athletes be paid, it sounds like a mandate that you have to pay college athletes. I ask the question, why would we prohibit it? This isn't high school sports where we're having bake sales and jogathons and charging $5 for admission. This is a multi-billion dollar business that is professional in every way except how the athlete is allowed to be compensated. And to me, the question is, why would we deny athletes the right to fair market value and compensation in this multi-billion dollar business when no other student is restricted from being compensated, let alone coaches and administrators? They're all getting their fair market value based upon this multi-billion dollar enterprise. And my thing is, if they're old enough to sell, and we are selling them like crazy, they're old enough to be paid for it.